Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
So honored to be with you today. I want to jump right into God's Word and into this series entitled Questions Jesus Asks. And the question that we're covering today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, Why Are You So Afraid? Why are you so afraid? How many have ever dealt with fear in your life? Yeah, all of us in this room. As a matter of fact, in dealing with this message, I have shed a few tears thinking, do I even have any qualifications for teaching this? Because I've dealt with enough severe fear in my own life and wondering, have I overcome in every single one of those areas? And I will just be very transparent with you today. No, I haven't. I haven't overcome, but I'm overcoming. How many are grateful that we can overcome as we're overcoming? Amen for that. So I'm going to draw your attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses 35 through 41. And the word of the Lord says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Jesus speaking, let us go over to the other side. Very important. Let us go over to the other side. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. That's important. Take Jesus along, right? Just as he was in the boat, there was also other boats with them. So another bit of detail here, they're traveling with numerous boats, so lots of witnesses to this particular story. A furious squall came up. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with those kind of storms here in Ireland, but I will tell you, Oklahoma has some mean storms. And this squall rose up. It came up, the scripture says, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So in other words, an overcoming experience. Jesus was in the stern. Jesus was in the stern. And he was sleeping on a cushion. Another detail, he was probably slobbering. He was so deep in sleep. How many ever slobbered when you slept before? That's some deep sleeping, right? The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's a bit of a sarcastic question, isn't it? To ask Jesus, don't you care if we drown? In other words, we're drowning here, Jesus. Wake up from your slobbering sleep. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves. Notice, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. A remarkable miracle here. Not only did the winds die down, how many knows that sometimes when the winds die down, there's still a bit of a breeze, or when the waves are high, there's still a bit of a ripple. In this understanding of Scripture, we are made to see that it not only died down, but it was as calm as if the wind never blew or there was not a wave on the water. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Sacred sarcasm at its best. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41, now their fear is turned toward Christ and not the storm. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, Lord, we're going to ask you to help us here in these next few moments. And we thank you that you accompany your word, your presence. Thank you, Lord, that this story is given to us on this side of the story for us to learn, for us to grapple with our own fears, and for us to feel the personableness of our Savior, who says to us, have faith, look to me. And we praise you, Father, that we can do that. And we ask you, Lord, now make this teaching understandable and receivable in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so I believe that this story is given to us, for us to see, first of all, what we do in a storm, what Jesus does in a storm, and why we need Jesus so much. What we do in a storm, what Jesus does in a storm, and why we need him so much. So I came across this story about Chippy the parakeet. So Chippy's sitting in his cage. He's a pet of the family, and he's peacefully perched there in the cage. And the owner decides it's time to clean the cage, and so she unhooks the vacuum cleaner, puts the hose in the cage, and turns on the vacuum cleaner and grabs her phone because she sees she's getting a phone call. And as she's getting the phone call, all of a sudden she hears the vacuum cleaner go thump. And she says, oh no, as she looks at the cage, she throws her phone down and she races over and she unhooks the vacuum cleaner and she digs into the bag where the stuff is from what's been sucked up. And here is the parakeet, a bit dazed, but still alive. And so she reaches down and she sees the parakeet covered in dust and soot. And what do we need to do? So she goes to the sink and she turns on the cold running water and she douses the bird in cold running water. And now she sees that the bird is shivering, dazed. And the only thing she knew to do at that point was to grab the hairdryer and to blow the mess out of this bird. Yeah, what does it feel like when you are sucked up, washed out, and blown away? Ask Chippy the parakeet, because the owner says Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. This is what is happening to the disciples in the biblical narrative from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. They never saw the storm coming. It's really interesting because if you talk to the folks there in the Galilee area, Michelle and I were just there this past year, this time, and we sailed that beautiful sea of Galilee. And in fact, they do say the storms can come up quickly. But this wasn't just another storm. This was almost like a demonic one. It was a storm of storms. So you've got the width of the Sea of Galilee, about 7 miles, and then the length about 12 miles, and then it goes to about 150 feet deep. But it's surrounded by mountains. A mountain range surrounds it, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I believe we have a couple of photos here that I took even on my iPhone, and here's one, and you can see the mountains in the distance, and you can see the clouds as they roll in. You get the other picture there of a wider shot of what the Sea of Galilee looks like from a distance. It's a perfect place for a perfect storm. Mount Hermon sits in the distance, and it's about 9,500 feet above sea level. This is about 700 feet below sea level, and the warm moisture from the water stirs up by the cold air coming from the mountain range, and it really gets going at times. But the scripture tells us here that this is not just one of those ordinary storms. It's interesting that Jesus says, I'm going to the other side. We're going to the other side. And why he was going to the other side. He was going to the other side, as we see in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, because there is a man that is demon-possessed, a man from the Gadarenes, if you will, and this man needs deliverance. And Jesus already knew that. And Jesus knew that when he would go there, that man would be gloriously delivered. But before they had to get to that deliverance, they had to be on the water, and they would cross from Bethany or Magdala there, and they would cross some 7 miles, and they would be caught by a storm, not catching Jesus off guard, but certainly catching the people off guard. The disciples were probably thinking when Jesus asked the question later, why are you so afraid? What do you mean we're so afraid? Now, listen, they're dealing with Jesus, so they're not going to be dealing in sarcasm, even though Jesus dealt with this sacred, sarcastic way about himself. They would probably want to say, what do you mean not afraid? We're just going to die. That's why we're afraid, right? This particular storm, it's going to take us out, Jesus. And Jesus, this divine person, says, why are you so afraid? I learned that you wonderful people here in Ireland love good sarcasm. And I know because your pastor loves good sarcasm. And I introduced Pastor Sean to a little sarcastic humor when we were in Oklahoma together driving down the road. And I said, you got to hear this guy that plays the part of a man, a make-believe, a fictitious man by the name of R.D. Mercer, Roy D. Mercer. He's from the country, and he talks like this. And R.D. Mercer will call people, prank call people, and tell them and get them all worked up over something, and then want to fight them and ask them where they live and tell them that he's coming over there. And he would say always with this question, how big of a boy are you anyway? Like, in other words, size yourself up to me, right? Size yourself up to me. How big of a storm is this anyway? Big. How big of a boy are we in this storm anyway? Not very big. How big of a Jesus is he anyway? Much bigger than any storm. I believe this is a story about the size of storms in comparison to us and Jesus and why we need Jesus so much. So why are we so afraid? Why am I so afraid? Can I just submit a couple of reasons why I believe we're afraid? Straight from Scripture here, maybe is it because we live by predictable conditions? We just want everything to be predictable, right? If everything was predictable, we wouldn't be afraid. We wouldn't have those moments where we're like, I have it together because I know what's happening next. But how many knows we're very tempted not to have it together when we're faced with something we don't know that's coming next. And in this regard, in verse 37, a furious squall came up and was breaking over the boat. So I believe maybe if I might submit this today, we're afraid sometimes because we live by predictable conditions, but I believe we're also afraid because we wonder if God cares. We wonder if God cares. I mean, he's way up there, right? Like, I mean, is he even attached to us? Does he even have an ability to connect with us in a human way? I mean, he's divine, he's God, he's over all, but is he in all things? And so we wonder, just like the disciples did in verse 38, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, here's a pretty remarkable and almost irreprehensible moment. Jesus is sleeping in this storm-tossed boat. Now, I just cannot wrap my mind around this. And if we don't know why, if we don't really wrestle with that, then we might assume that this confirms the reason why we wonder if he cares, because he is indeed aloof, right? He's aloof. He just sleeps while we're over here suffering, but that's not it at all. He clearly shows us that he's one who responds to storms quite differently than we do. The storm roars and Jesus snores, right? I think this really is the only reason why we have this detail. Otherwise, we would feel like Jesus is aloof and unengaged. And in this part of the story, we get to see up close and personal both the humanity and deity of Jesus. He needed sleep. He just fell asleep. It wasn't like, I know this storm is coming, and so I'm going to make you have to wake me up. No, he was just tired. And in his humanity, he's connecting with us here. And then he's also, in a way, over it by feeling that this experience doesn't wake him up. So we can know today that Jesus is very much acquainted with our human condition, and he's more than able to bring peace to us as we trust him. He's enough human to sleep in the storm and enough God to speak to it. It's interesting to me that the waves couldn't wake Jesus up. The waves couldn't wake Jesus up, but the disciples could wake him up. Like, I mean, really, I mean, the storm's stronger than the disciples, and yet the disciples have a voice that wakes him up and not the voice of the storm. Because God isn't bothered by the fiercest financial setback or the most troubling physical diagnosis or the crazy heightened family struggle. But what does get Jesus' attention is when the financial setback, the physical diagnosis, or the family struggle reaches you, his children. The storm roars and Jesus snores until it impacts you and you cry out for help. Jesus actually asks two questions. The first one, why are you so afraid? But the second one kind of answers the first one. Do you still have no faith? How scalding a rebuke. Far more deep than are you not afraid? Yes, I'm afraid. Do you still have no faith? What? You mean this is a faith issue here? It always is. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that literally, spiritually, figuratively, you've had everything that you've needed all along the way in this present dreadful dealing. You've had me. It's your faith in me. And when do we need to activate our faith in Jesus? When the condition becomes unpredictable and when we're tempted to wonder if God cares. We have to say at that moment, I am weak, but you are strong. Oh, I know in America, this is how we do it. This is how we do it, do it. I know in America, this is how we do it. We say, we're strong. I know you don't necessarily say this in Ireland, but we do in America. We're strong. We pull ourselves up by our own, quote, bootstraps. And God helps those who help themselves. And somebody says, that's scripture. And that's not scripture. It's nowhere in the Bible. It's in Benjamin Franklin's almanac. But it's not in the Bible because God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who are utterly helpless and know that they are. And in those moments of storm, maybe, what if, instead of just totally freaking out, the disciples would have bent down and grabbed a hold of the sleeping Jesus and just held on to him. Could that have been a moment of anchor for them? And how quickly do we grab a hold of other things or seemingly just air before us because we don't know what to grab a hold of? And God is saying, grab a hold of me. I'm the one. And yet the question, do you still have no faith? You've seen me here. You've seen me there. You've seen my power displayed on all of these different occasions, and yet you're still doubting, aren't we? Of course we are. So how do we overcome these fears? It's all about faith. It's all about faith. And I believe it's spelled out right here in these verses. Can I just hit us with those for just very quickly here? Actively trust his word. Actively trust his word. What's his word? What did he say? What was the promise? Let us go over to the other side. Let us what? Oh, that's right. Let us what? Go over. Go over. Like not go under. Not find us at the bottom somewhere. But let us go over. In essence, I'm going to guarantee you that we're going to go over because I'm the one who created this stuff. And the one who created it is the one who can stop it. Jesus said that they were going to cross over to the other side, the other lake. One theologian said it like this: don't doubt in the dark what you have heard in the light. What did Jesus say before the night, before the storm? We're going to the other side, and we're going to go over, and we're going to do that together. I heard about a teacher in Canada who read the Bible 27 times in a particular setting. He was after just getting as much of God's word in him as he possibly could in this particular period of time. And afterward, he indicated what impacted him the most out of those 27 times he read God's word. Like, I'm just trying to read a chapter a year, right? He's reading God's word, all of these particular moments. And after he reads it, he indicates that every time he read God's word, this is what came out, a promise, a promise, a promise, a promise. And he counted 7,487 promises in God's word. It's almost like we've got 7,487 particular storms that come to our life, and we've got a promise for every single one of them. Every single one of them. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. This is what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying right now. Let me just pause right now and say this. I feel like that the Holy Spirit is saying that there is someone here who is dealing with anger toward God. You have been so disappointed. It started in fear, but when you did not feel like that the Lord came to your fearful moments, that those fearful moments turned into resentment, which has now become bitterness. And the Lord would have you to know that your case is not closed and your hope is not lost because you're here and you're listening. And because of that, you still have a door open to the Lord. So hear this today. Hear this today. The case is not closed. And hope is not lost. Allow the Holy Spirit to soften you to the reality of His presence right now. Maybe it's you who are watching online. Maybe this word is for you. You're listening, you're attending, simply because you have not closed every single door yet. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Can we just pause right now and say, thank you for softening me in your presence, Lord. Thank you for softening me in your presence. Actively trust his word. Actively trust his wisdom. Trust his wisdom. Because that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. He had an agenda. God has an agenda for your life. His agenda is meant to be your agenda. His agenda is not meant to be separate from yours. I'm going to go do something. You can do whatever you want to do. No, if we have Jesus in our boat, guess what? Our agenda is his agenda. And he says, I'm going to go to the other side. There's something I must do there. And a lot of times we don't understand why we're faced with certain issues in our life, certain circumstances, problems, difficulties, storms. And we say, man, I just wish I could just be done with this. And the Lord says, I do too. And in his wisdom, it's not that he's caused it, but he's allowed it. And we trust his what? Wisdom. And in actively trusting his wisdom, we're saying, yes, 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 yes. I believe you're speaking to me. I believe you're teaching me because those who are teachable are reachable. I believe, Lord, that as you're enabling me, I'm going to another level in faith through this storm, knowing you're with me and knowing that you've got an agenda in all of this. God has wisdom. I remember going through a particular, the most severe storm of my adult life, and it was a storm filled with accusations, misunderstandings, misrepresentation, slander. There were times when I didn't even know if I would survive. But somewhere among those proverbial heavy winds and high waves, I was reminded that God was in the storm with me, and I was also reminded that his nature to be calmed was also in me, and that I wasn't to respond to the storm just like an unbeliever would respond to the storm. So I was given a confession by the Holy Spirit that I repeated out loud, sometimes multiple times throughout the day, but definitely at least once a day for about a 3-year period. And these were those words of that confession. My mind is stilled, my heart is steadfast, and my spirit is alive to your word. My mind is stilled, my heart is steadfast, and my spirit is alive to your word. Trust his wisdom. Actively trust his word. Actively trust his wisdom. And then lastly, actively trust his willingness. Can I say today for all of us to be reminded of this remarkable truth that we're not laying hold of God's reluctance, we're laying hold of God's willingness. God's heart is in this for you and me, whatever we're faced with. So what did he do? He got up, responding to the cries of his disciples, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, like a rowdy child being put in timeout. He said, quiet, and then be still, like sending him into a corner. The very one who flung the galaxies into space and planets into orbit is the very one who's in this boat to speak to the storm, be still. That continual action of being stilled. In other words, don't get riled up again until I'm done with you. And the storm slinks off over into the corner. First of all, I would say, if you were a believer, Jesus is always in your boat. Jesus is always in your boat. So no matter how difficult the storm might seem, the last thing you want to do is bail on God. And that's the word that I hear the Lord saying to someone here in this room. That's what I hear the Lord saying. Don't bail on me. Don't bail on me. How many knows we can bail on God and it can get worse? It can get worse. The last thing we want to be is in a storm without God. Amen. Actively trusting is acknowledging that he is in your boat, in your life, in your family, in your business, in your relationships, in your finances. Jesus is in your boat. Secondly, if you're a follower of Jesus, that means you have been reborn. And so you have a new nature working on you and in you. And that new nature enables you to be calm, even in times when others would not be. His character, his nature is in you, making you more like him. So actively trusting in his word, actively trusting in his wisdom, and actively trusting in his willingness moves us closer to a life where we're more faith-filled and less fear-filled. It's the equation: when the faith is higher, the fear is less. When the fear is higher, the faith is less. And so what's the idea? Lord, help me in my unbelief. I believe at times, but help me in my unbelief, clinging not to the pillow that he's laying on, but to the one who's laying on the pillow, clinging to him in the storm. And there is one who is stronger than the storm. Not only speak to the storm, but will steady you in the process. Why? Because Jesus does care. And Jesus is bigger. How big of a Jesus are you? Anyway, I'm bigger than you, and I'm bigger than that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power of your word today. Thank you for the comfort of your word today. Now we're asking you, in these unpredictable conditions and these temptations to wonder if you care, you would help us to grab a hold of the one who never sleeps nor slumbers. For now, that one sits at the right hand of you in heaven, and that divinity is in full bloom. And you are working now to help us to actively trust your word, trust your wisdom, and trust your willingness. You are greater. And we praise you for that today. Just remain with your head bowed and your eye closed for a moment before I turn this over to Pastor Sean. You say, yo, Darren, this is me, man. I'm in this spot. I'm fearful. I'm wondering what to do next. I can't get through this. It seems so dark. seems so storm-tossed in my life. Maybe you've gone through some storms and you're living off of the maybe the repercussions of those storms. You're a little shy to life. And the Lord wants you to know, step out in confidence knowing that I'm with you, that I'm with you. You're dealing with fear today. You just want to lift your hand and say, pray for me. That's me particularly. Pray for me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Lord, for all these hands. Maybe you're watching online, praying for you today too. Father, we're just praying for all of these hands raised right now. They are important to you. You care about them individually. You know them by name. You know what they're going through. You know the entirety of their situation. You know the DNA of their storm. Lord, I thank you right now that you are working to not only calm the storm, but to calm them, to enable them by your grace to actively trust your word, trust your wisdom, and trust your willingness to work on their behalf. We don't have to be troubled by unpredictable conditions or wonder if you care for us. We know from your word today, your word declares you indeed do care. And so we, for that reason, will trust you, the one who cannot lie. We praise you for that today. In Jesus' name, I bless this St. Mark's family. I bless Pastor Sean. I bless Pastor Susan, this entire team. I thank you for what you're doing in this city. I thank you for what you're doing in Ireland. May there be a courageous roar that comes up. And Lord, may you be glorified through that righteous roar, that many people may come to know Jesus Christ because of the bold, courageous faith that you have in this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.